I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible declares in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." It is a declaration without any apology. God is not a minion whereby He is at our beck and call, where we are gods and He is but a servant. He simply declares, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." That tells us that God was always present in eternity past, and He will always be present in eternity future. No matter how man may reject Him, as we see in our world today, He will remain as God. It is to our own hurt and pain and sorrow when we reject the one living and true God. Through our education system, our children are taught the theory of evolution, that we came into this world because of matter, matter that existed by chance. No one knew, no one was there, and yet what has always been a theory has now become a truth. A truth that is so widely accepted that scientists do not even bother to begin to explain themselves. They just assume that the world is billions of years old, that we are all origins from apes, monkeys. And some of them are so confident in their acceptance of this falsehood that they came out with ridiculous medical explanation, even for something as simple as backache. Do you know how they explain why we as human beings suffer from backaches? Because we originated from apes, from monkeys who walk on fours. And we are not used to walking upright. And that is why we suffer backaches. I heard this from the BBC. As ridiculous as it may sound to us, but these people who proclaim such nonsense, they are very, very serious. It's their rice bowl. They will teach this in their universities, in their schools, as gospel truth. But the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. This is the origin of matter. And God the Father was there, as declared in verse 1. God the Spirit was there, as declared for us in verse 2. Now, we do not find the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead, in the book of Genesis. But that does not mean that the Lord Jesus Christ was not there at the time of creation. For we thank God for later revelation. For in the book of John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3, the Bible made it very clear that the Lord Jesus Christ was also present when the universe and the world were created. And the Lord Jesus Christ not only was present in the creation of the world, but the world in its present form, the way that we know it, is held together by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, by God. And so we have so much to give thanks to God for as creatures who continue to enjoy God's creation. He made this world for us. He made this world as our home. And the Bible tells us that God created all things, not some things, not most things, but all things. God created light. God even created darkness. That's what the Bible here says. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth. And this was made very plain and clear in Isaiah 45, verse 7, where it is explicitly stated that God created darkness. That's the awesome power and might of our omnipotent God. He created all things. And so man, in his sinful state, refused to accept that there is a great creator who created all things. And so by the encouragement, by the power of the prince of this world, wicked men and women have spun tales to deceive mankind, starting from toddlers to kindergarten to primary school. And from young, they will now rule the world when they grow up and they grow old. And once you have a generation of men, women, and children who reject God, who reject that God created all things, it's so much easier for the next or the subsequent generations to drink in more and more of the poison. The Bible here made that very clear. The entire chapter of Genesis chapter 1, God created all things. The world at first was without form, and so God spanned day 1, day 2, day 3, forming it. It was void, it was empty, and so God spent days 4, 5, and 6 to fill it. And so by the end of 6 days, and God willing, next Lord's Day, we're going to study how it is 24-hour day, not millions and billions of years, but 24-hour day period. God created the whole world, the world that we now know it, the world where we see the stars, the moon, the sun, and where we enjoy God's creation, the beauty of the earth. There was a designer. He is God Himself. He created the plants. He created the birds, the fish, the animal. He created all things. But the world will continue to reject and deny this truth. Have you ever coined this term before? The chicken came first, or the egg. Whenever you have this dilemma, a situation where you do not know which came first, you will coin this phrase. Is a chicken and egg issue? We do not know whether it was an egg first or whether it was a chicken. Have you ever coined this phrase before? If you're an evolutionist, this would be your conundrum. This would be your problem. You do not know which came first. But if you know the scriptures, if you know the Bible made it very plain and clear to us that the chicken came first. Because the birds, the animals, all of them, including the fish in the oceans, were all created by God, and then after that, they will reproduce after their own kind. So there is no problem to the one who believes in God's word. It's very plain, it's very simple. And that is why you and I cannot use that as an illustration of a situation where you just simply do not know which one comes first. You cannot use that unless you do not believe in God's creation. The chicken came first and then the eggs. God made all things. Why is it so hard to believe that God made all things? It is so hard to believe God made all things because none of us were there. That's number one. Number two, we are people who are very rational. Rational in the bad sense. My mind must accept it first. If I cannot recreate the situation under laboratory conditions, I will not believe. That's the hardness of man's heart. That was a German rationalism that came into this world in the 19th century. An evil that had pervaded throughout our age and our times. Mind is God. Whatever I cannot receive and accept, I reject because I am God. I know all things. This is the basic premise. For those who argue that if my mind cannot accept, I reject. That means my mind is supposed to be total, completely, 100%. The same yesterday, today, and forever. You have absolute knowledge. Bear in mind, dear friends, we continue to change. It's either we change for the better or we change for the worse. We do not have absolute knowledge. We learn. We gain knowledge with every passing minute of every day. We lose knowledge as we grow old with every passing minute of every day. We constantly change. The only person who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who has absolute knowledge, who doesn't lose knowledge, who doesn't gain knowledge, is God Himself. And He is the God who has created this world for us. And the moment we diminish Him, we lose. The moment we diminish Him, we will soon replace Him. And when we replace Him, we make an idol of what we replace God with. And that would be a very, very grave sin that the Bible tells us is the cause of all the many, many sins that we see in our world today. Disobedience to parents, homosexuality, men with men, women with women, adultery, fornication, all sorts of sins, because once you replace this wonderful truth that God created mankind, God created everything, we substitute him with something else. And today the world substituted God with the theory of evolution. Since we all are so closely linked with monkeys, apes, the animals, we better not eat them. We are eating our grandparents, and so vegetarian comes in. It should be okay for us to have a heart of a monkey because we're all related, aren't we? The scary thing is we behave like beasts. And if beasts could talk, they would be insulted that we would compare ourselves with them. For they were created by God with an instinct. Do you know that animal cannot sin? And therefore, since they cannot sin, the blood of animal is without sin. Why do you think in the Old Testament God separate clean animals and they could be used for a sacrificial system? To give us the external cleansing of our sins through the sin offering, through the burnt offering, because animals could not sin. And so when we say that we are behaving like animals, actually we are insulting the animals. We have a choice. We are created in the image of God. And when we sin and we choose to sin and behave worse than animals, we kill, we murder, we rob, we cheat, we steal, we commit heinous sins. And our conscience is seared. We don't even bother about it. We don't even feel shameful when we live in sin. And all because we erase, or we try to erase, the truth that God created all things. But the topic is not that God created all things, is it? The topic is God created all things out of nothing. That is even harder for man to accept. The fact that God created all things would make God our ultimate judge. That we have to give an account of how we live this life. That he is the one who is in control of this world. It's difficult for us to accept. But to tell us that God created all things out of nothing, it's even more humbling to mankind. And man could not accept that. And the scary part and the saddest part is there are some professing Christians who are professors in seminaries and Bible colleges who want to marry the theory of evolution with creation. And they say that God used the theory of evolution to create mankind. And so they coined this horrible term called theistic evolution. Theistic evolution, just Christianized evolution, and it will become more palatable, more acceptable to Christians. It is our foolish, man-centered thinking. We have no right, no power, no authority at all to Christianize anything. We are just mortal beings. You and I cannot make anything holy. You think by just simply calling it a Christian thing, therefore something that is secular, something that is anti-God, can suddenly transform itself and become something acceptable, something holy? Study the book of Leviticus. You realize that the only one who can make something holy is God himself, because he is a holy God. You and I cannot Christianize something that is evil by just calling it theistic, and therefore it becomes more palatable, sweeter, and God will be pleased. We fool ourselves, but these are the new evangelicals. They don't believe in biblical separation. And since they want to befriend all the liberals and the modernists, those who attack God, and since they want to at the same time retain God in their speech, in their writing, and they want to be accepted by these enemies of God who propound evolution, they marry the two, theistic evolution. And so how do they explain it? Well, they explain this particular verse where the Bible says that God formed man out of the dust. Just one word, the word dust there, encapsulated in this one word dust is the entire process of evolution. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. That's the word that they use and distort. You see, if man wants to twist and turn the Bible into silly putty, form it, shape it, mold it into whatever you want it to say, you could, and man did. That's what they did. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. For us, dust means dust. That's it, dust of the ground. Out of the dust, God just formed man, and then God just breathed into man. That's it. But to them, the word dust there equals billions and billions and billions of years. And so what do you do with Genesis chapter 1? Evening and morning, first day. Evening and morning, second day. They twist and turn scriptures to their own destruction and for the deception of young boys and girls. And now it is taught in schools. God created the world, all things, out of nothing. How do we know? Well, the Bible tells us so. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The heaven there would be the third heaven where angels dwell. It also includes stratosphere, the outer space. And then the earth will be the earth that we know it as it is today. It was without form, without void, and then God just simply focused onto the earth. It was in gaseous form, and then God gave it water, separated the water above and the water below by a firmament, and that is the atmosphere that we know it today. Very clearly defined for us, step by step, from general to the specific, God created everything. God did not mix everything up. If it had been you or me, we would have mixed everything up. We would probably create man first, and then suddenly we have created man. What do we do now with man? No environment that man can breathe in, can sustain, and can live in. The whole sequence of creation, step by step, is how man learned from God for the designs of mega cities, big cities, from big mega scale, and then you enter into the micro scale. That's how God created the world. It was no accident. It was carefully designed by a caring, very, very marvelous and wonderful God who is a super, super genius. He created all things out of nothing. And to make this very plain and clear that it was a creation by God out of nothing, there is a commentary of Genesis by the New Testament scripture. It was the verse that we were asked to memorize this morning. Hebrews 11:3. God created the whole world, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God created all things, and God created all things out of nothing. Look at Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds... Why plural? Have you asked yourself that as you memorize this verse? Why did not the Bible use the word world, a singular? Why plural? And this word world is not just the cosmos. If it is the cosmos, it would be the world that we know it, this world only, and it would exclude the universe. But this word worlds is exactly the same as it is used in Hebrews 1:2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, plural, exactly the same word with the same understanding. This word worlds means ages. It means the substance that made up the ages throughout the world. It includes the heavenly world. It includes the world above the sky. It includes the sea world. It includes the world that is on land. It's all the worlds, all the ages, anything that involves substance where time matters, because in the beginning, that means before there was creation, there was no time. The moment God declared in the beginning, God created, when time began, when the matter begins, when there was time, that's why the word used there is basically the word for ages. And that's why you have the plurality that is used here in chapter 11:3, which is linked with chapter 1:2 of Hebrews. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The word framed, it means to put in order completely, to put in order thoroughly, framed. So God created by framing it in a very orderly manner, completely and thoroughly, where God was the one who did it. The worlds were framed by the word of God. How did he do it? He just declared it. That's it. He just spoke the word, and God is the only one who has the power whereby something can come out of nothing. That's the power of God's word. The word of God can heal all diseases. The word of God can part the Red Sea. The word of God can raise the dead. The word of God, the power that's in the word. We all can understand the power of the word because we use it all the time. The head of every home, the father. The power of the word. You go to the office, you have the CEO, the power of the word. You look at every leader in every country, the power of the word, very carefully spoken. Wrongly spoken, world wars could be declared, and world wars had been declared because of the power of the word. But these powers of the words of men are given by men. They are leaders of countries because we put them there as leaders. The moment they step down, the moment they lose their title, their leadership, the power of the word disappears from them. They do not have any inherent power. But not God. You and I can vote God out of existence. You can vote all you want and God will always be God. You can't touch him. The power of the word will be used at the last days of man's existence when the Lord Jesus Christ will ride down on his white horse and he will use his word, the sword of the Spirit, his word, and he will wipe out all the sinful, wicked men energized by Satan, led by the Antichrist to attack God and God's people, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come by the power of his word and wipe every single human being away from the face of the earth, and they will die instantaneously. The power of the word. By the word of God, the Bible here says, God framed the worlds, everything that is made of dust. Every item. The moment time began, God brought it into existence by the power of his word, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Plain and simple. What you and I see, feel, touch, taste, and handle. Once upon a time, none of these things existed. Everything that man created came out of something. This pulpit, made out of wood, there was a tree that was fell in order for this to come into existence. Everything that you touch, taste, feel, see, eat, something came out of something. But there was a point in time when there was absolutely nothing, not even darkness. Only God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he created the whole world by just simply declaring, God created, that's it. And everything came into existence by the declaration of his word found in Genesis chapter 1. Reject this truth, you cannot be found acceptable to God. Because this truth, the Bible says, is the first line of the entire line which the Bible calls faith. Because this is the first declaration of God's act. But we have to believe by faith. This is the entrance of the strength of our faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. You want to have faith? You believe that God created the whole world because this was the first of a long, long line of faithful men and women. You reject this, your faith in God will be challenged. By yourself, by your own conscience, by God himself. How can you say that you have faith in God when you do not believe that God created the world, all things out of nothing? Because the Bible tells us this truth can only be believed by faith because no man was there. That was what God said to Job. Were you there? Were any one of you there when I created? It was a rhetorical question posed to Job, recorded for us for our understanding and for our humility. Job 38, read that chapter, and you'll find it very, very clearly stated for us. Was any one of us there when God created the waters, the mountains, the sky, the universe, the stars, the moon, and the sun? None of us. And how dare we turn a figment of man's imagination, which we call the theory of evolution, based upon so-called limited mindset of puny men in the interpretation of God's creation, and then we erase God, and then we replace him by another God, the God of chance. A big bang, push it back to billions of years, and then suddenly, boom, everything comes out in an orderly fashion. God says no such thing. God framed it in a very orderly manner, thoroughly, completely, by the declaration of his word. And by faith, we believe. You have not been there, but you simply believe it because God declared it. The confidence in divine testimony. That's it. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Are you prepared? There is no other way. Without faith, God says it's impossible to please him. You can come and you can worship all you want. You can come and you can give all the money you want. And as far as God is concerned, without faith, it is impossible to please him. This is not a matter of science. Science is constantly evolving and changing. It is always full of errors and mistakes. This is above science. This is a matter of faith, creation. Science must always be a servant to scriptures, just like every science. Whether we talk about human science or the science that talks about astronomy, every field of science, archaeology, every science, linguistics, every area must be subservient to the word of God, plain and simple. The only one who can explain all things is God. How is it done? How can something come out of nothing? Nobody knows. The Bible said so. That's it, plain and simple. Either you call God a liar or you believe that he is true. There is no middle ground. There is no other option. So what if I call him a liar, you may declare? Well, that's what the Bible says. You call God a liar, you are a fool. You made the Bible a lie. That means you have no fear of God in your heart. That means you believe that there is no judgment. You eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die. And you have no one to answer to. And that's exactly what you see in the world today. Many wicked men. That's all they care about. Eat, drink, make merry, for tomorrow we die. We have nothing to be afraid of. When I die, I just disappear into nothingness. And some of them even believe in soul sleep. I just die and disappear. No punishment, no God. These are the consequences of those who reject that God created the world out of nothing. He is a powerful God. Do not diminish him, because to reject this truth is to diminish him. And when you diminish him, you will elevate sin. And when you elevate sin, your life will be a wreck. Your life will be a life of immorality. Your life will be a life of wickedness. Look at our world. The evidence is before our eyes. Are we that blind that we couldn't see? How do you think the world is what it is today? It's because men reject God. And our homes are evidences of this rejection. Broken homes, broken marriages. We don't care. And we think that simply we don't care, God will cease to exist. We can erase God. That is the deception and the lie of Satan. And the people who waste their life will get the root shock of their lives. For when they die, they're going to see this God. And this God will judge and condemn. And then you say, well, how will God judge and condemn? God will judge and condemn based upon the same creation that you say does not declare the presence of God, does not declare that we have a God who is powerful. God will use that creation to judge sinful, wicked, evil men. These so-called scientists, with all their degrees, with all their data, God will just simply judge them and send them to hell, plain and simple, because they have deceived the world. They have ruined the hearts and minds and lives of young boys, young girls, by their lies and their deception. And you think that God will let them escape? God will not let any wicked, sinful man escape for the damage that they have done. You believe in God? Believe in Christ. You believe in Christ? You believe in the Word. There is no other way. God created all things out of nothing, plain and simple. That's it. You reject this, you pay the price. What is the price that we have to pay? Romans chapter 1 tells us that this is the price that we will pay. Verse 18, just as firm, just as strong, God is not going to apologize to man. He's not going to come to man on tiptoes as if walking on eggshells. Maybe I should not incur the wrath of man. He's not going to tiptoe around us. He declared in the beginning, God created. You refuse, you reject, you die, you pay the price. For the wrath of God will fall down upon man. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, is made plain and clear in them. For God has showed it unto them how? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, two things about God. Even His eternal power, it may be invisible to the naked eyes. You cannot see God. But God said, from my creation, you can learn two things about me. You can see that I am a very powerful God, and that I exist and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, dear friends, the testimony and the evidence of creation, where in Psalm 19, it is described in this manner, where it says that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth God's handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun. In other words, the creation utters a language 24 hours a day, day and night, where every human being from every nation can understand. And God said, because they speak in such a language that declares to the world two things about me, that I am a powerful God and that I exist. And if you erase this, and if you say no such thing, God said, I will judge you, I will condemn you, I will send you to hell, and you will be without excuse. Creation, God said, will be an evidence that is more than sufficient to condemn mankind into hell. You are right to say that it is not enough to send us to heaven, that we require special revelation. And that is the second half of Psalm 19. Psalm 19 speaks of general revelation, that is creation of God. And it also speaks of special revelation, and that is the Word of God. And combine the two parts together, you have a tremendous psalm in Psalm 19 that speaks to us of God's revelation. And God's creation, God here said, is enough to condemn and sentence all of us without excuse to hell. There is no appeal. And if you and I continue to live in this sin and deny the existence of God, that God created the whole world out of nothing, and if you are still a sinner without a Savior, you better tremble. You better tremble now, because if you were to die in your sin, and this God who created you will take you to task, because you die in your sin without an advocate, without a Savior, whom Jesus Christ sent by God, the same God who created the world, loved you, enough to send Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, into the world to die for your sins. And then you say, no, thank you, Lord. I don't need Jesus. And I don't need you. And then you die in your sin. You think God will just simply say, never mind? Sin is heinous in the eyes of God. This rejection of God is the cause of the wretched, wicked world that we are living in today. God created the world beautiful. It was good. It was very good at the end of creation. But when sin came, the world transformed itself with thorns, with thistles, and then there was a global flood. And now mankind had turned the beautiful creation of God into a mass of wickedness, sin, and evil. Look at some of the sins that the Bible said are the fruits of those who reject that God created the world out of nothing. Look at verse 24, Romans 1. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men living the natural use of the woman burn in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Homosexuality and lesbianism. And by the way, the word lesbianism came from a city, an island somewhere in Greece. The island was called Lesbos. And anyone who comes from Lesbos is called a lesbian. Do you know that? And now it is a court case because the people from Lesbos who are lesbian are very upset by the lesbians who are in Greek who founded a society and calling themselves the Homosexuals and Lesbian Society. And so the people from Lesbos are very unhappy with the lesbians because they are true lesbians. Lesbians is just people from Lesbos. I heard it from BBC again. But this is God's judgment. Unnatural use. The cause, you reject God. And that's only the beginning. Dear friends, you read on. A family of sins will shock us. And even as they did not like to retain God in their image, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. And so those who concocted the theory of evolution, you know what is God's evaluation of them? That is called the mind of a reprobate. To do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Is this not an accurate description of the world that we're living in today? They have pleasure in their sin. And all because they reject the truth that God created the world out of nothing. Evolution is not an innocent theory. It is a very wicked and evil theory. That is the primary cause of the wickedness that we see around us. It enhances it. Sure, the sinful nature in man, I agree. But this gives us a rational excuse for what we do in our lives. And if we continue in this direction, we will say, well, this is the way I am. There is no creator, there is no God, and that means there is no judge. That means I don't need any savior. That means there is no gospel, no salvation, no heaven, no hell. It is not a small issue. It is a very major doctrine. Teach our children well. Warn them about the errors and the dangers of evolution. You find them in primary school, in secondary school, in junior colleges, and in universities. The only antidote that can protect our young people is the Word of God. And to have the fear of God in their hearts and to be born again and to know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And it must begin from the very, very beginning. And that is, God created the world out of nothing. And we all will have to answer to Him one day, whether you like it or not. Whether the world may reject it or not, you cannot deny God's truth. He will always have the last word, just as He had the first word. Humble ourselves before God and come to know the Savior, for that is what creation reveals to us. And the God who created this world will also be the same God who will destroy this world in Revelation chapter 20. This world will implode, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And this new heaven and new earth will not be stained and tarnished by sin. And this world of ours will forever be erased from our memory. You cannot erase God, but the memory of this world will be erased. The only thing that we have to remind us of this old earth is one word: Jerusalem. That's the only term that God will retain, and God called the new capital city for all eternity the New Jerusalem. But other than that, Singapore will become a thing of the past. Tokyo, Japan, London, New York, America, all these names of nations that are given by men will be removed. You want to remove God? God says, I will remove you. Let us come and realize that this God, who is all-powerful, is our Heavenly Father. Cry to Him. Seek Him. He's always there to look after us. And if we have such a powerful God, you think God cannot look after your life, help us in our trials and our problems? Walk by faith. There's no other way. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, O Lord, for who Thou art. But what we have searched the Scriptures this morning is but only the tip of the iceberg, for there's so much we do not know. O Lord, we only acknowledge that we are undone. We are sinful creatures needing Thy grace and Thy mercy constantly to sustain us. And we thank Thee, Father, for Thy revelation. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy creation. Grant to us thankful hearts, especially all Thy children who have tasted of Thy goodness, to know what it means to be born again, to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. May Thou fill our hearts with joy, with thanksgiving, to know that Thou art God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and Thou art also the same God who has given us the honor and the privilege to call Thee Abba, Father. May we learn to acknowledge that Thou art always sovereign over our lives and the lives of everyone in this world, for they cannot do anything without Thee. For Thou art all-powerful. May this humble us and keep us always teachable and humble before Thy holy sight, and make us men and women of the Most High God, children of the Most High God who will live for Thee. Our lives are no more our own. May Thou use us to be that instrument of blessing to others, especially when we see the day of the Lord fast approaching. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen.